In the course of the last few weeks, or even in the course of the last few months, I've had occasion to participate in discussions not only with people here, not only with people who are actually trying to follow the path as taught by the Buddha, but discussions with other people elsewhere, people who, though they were involved in their own way in the living of the spiritual life, the treading of the spiritual path, were not very familiar with Buddhism, even though in many cases very interested in it. And in the course of the discussions which I have had, which in fact I'm still having, with some of these people in some of these groups, both formal and informal, one of the questions which has come up again and again, one of the questions in fact which has been put to me again and again, is the question of what really makes one a Buddhist. Now, obviously, one is not thinking in formal, official, as it were, ecclesiastical terms. One is not thinking in terms of official membership or anything like that, but one is thinking in essentially spiritual terms, thinking in terms of reality, thinking in terms of individual commitment. And the answer, which has always emerged to that sort of question, is that a Buddhist, ultimately, when the question is probed, when the question is plumbed, one may say to its very depths, a Buddhist is one who goes for refuge. Now, going for refuge is an act. One could even say it is the Buddhist act, the distinctive and the decisive Buddhist act. And one therefore is a Buddhist, not merely by virtue of some external membership in some external body, not even by virtue of one's belief or one's faith, but essentially in virtue of an action of going, an action of going for refuge. Now, going for refuge to what? This is something also that has to be elucidated. And in traditional terms, one goes for refuge to the Buddha, to the Dharma, and to the Sangha. By Buddha, one means one's own ultimate ideal of spiritual perfection, or in a few words, the spiritual ideal. Going for refuge to the Buddha means the acceptance for oneself of a certain spiritual ideal, especially as embodied in the life and the teaching of the Buddha, an ideal which one takes, which one accepts as one's own, in the sense that it is this ideal that one wishes to realize oneself, to achieve oneself, and embody in one's own life. In other words, it's a practical ideal, not merely something theoretical. So this is going for refuge to the Buddha, and then going for refuge to the Dharma. And this means, or this suggests, that in order to realize this ideal of Buddhahood, the supreme spiritual ideal, there must be some way, there must be some method, there must be some regular course of progress. And this essentially is what we call the Dharma, the path of the higher evolution in more contemporary terms. And therefore, going for refuge to the Dharma means committing oneself to follow this path, however far it may lead, however difficult it may be, however remote the regions may be into which it leads, however trackless, as it were, however intangible, but one commits oneself to following that path of the higher evolution, that path leading to the realization of the spiritual ideal, leading to the realization of Buddhahood, one commits oneself to following it to the end. I had almost said the bitter end, but of course the end in this case isn't at all bitter. One might say the end is very sweet, but the path itself, at least in stages, may be bitter, may be rugged. So this is going for refuge to the Dharma. And thirdly, going for refuge to the Sangha. The Sangha is the spiritual community. Other people who, in their own way, are also treading that same spiritual path that you are treading or trying to tread in the direction of the realization of the same spiritual ideal. So these are your fellow pilgrims. These are your companions on the way. You help them. They help you. You inspire them. They inspire you. If they stumble, you try to pick them up. If you stumble, you hope that they'll try to assist you to your feet also. So this is the spiritual community. This is the Sangha. And to the Sangha also, one goes for refuge. So, in brief, in a very few words, in these traditional terms, one is a Buddhist by virtue of the fact that one goes for refuge in this sense through the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And these three, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, these are known, therefore, as the three refuges and also as the three jewels. And they are the three great themes, one might say, of Buddhism itself. The whole of Buddhism, vast as it is, complex as it is, and also simple as it is, can be reduced to these three: the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And inasmuch as the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha are so important, are so all-important, it's only natural that in the course of centuries, the custom should have grown up in the Buddhist East of commemorating them, celebrating them at certain stated times of the year, on certain stated occasions. So we find in the Buddhist calendar, we have three great days, three great feasts, if you like, three great festivals, when we commemorate the Buddha, when we commemorate the Dharma, when we commemorate the Sangha. Buddha Day is, of course, Vaishakha Purnima, the full moon day of the month April to May, when we commemorate the enlightenment of the Buddha, when we commemorate, when we remember that which makes the Buddha Buddha, in other words, his enlightenment. And then Dharma Day or Dharma Chakra Day is that day some 2 months later, corresponding to our June, July, when we remember the Buddha's first enunciation of the truth, the first teaching that he gave after his enlightenment, the first showing of the way, the first showing of the path of the higher evolution to the rest of humanity. And then Sangha Day comes later on still in the year. This comes on another full moon day, that of the month October to November. So on these three great days, in the course of the Buddhist year, we celebrate and we commemorate and remember these three refuges, these three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Now, in addition to these, there are many other festivals, many other celebrations, but two amongst them all are of outstanding importance. The first of these is the Buddha's birthday. The other is the Buddha's Parinirvana Day, or as we would say in the case of any other person other than the Buddha, the anniversary of his death. The Buddha's birthday falls, according to the Far Eastern Buddhist calendar, on April the 8th. We'll be in retreat at Hazelmere this year on that day, and we shall be having something quite special on that occasion. And the second day, the anniversary of the Parinirvana, happens to fall today, according to the Far Eastern Buddhist calendar. Today is the anniversary of the Buddha's passing away. So today, we can say we're commemorating what, as I've said, in the case of other people, we would describe as the death of the Buddha. Now, it so happens that this day falls on a Tuesday, and on Tuesdays, as most of you know, we have a meditation, sometimes more than one meditation. So inasmuch as we are commemorating the parinirvana of the Buddha, the death, as it were, of the Buddha, and inasmuch as Tuesday is usually for us a meditation day, I'm going to say something this evening on the subject of the recollection of death in general and the recollection of the Buddha's death, inverted commas, in particular.